All right. Okay. Well, good morning again. I had to go make a quick, I don't know if you noticed, but I made a quick wardrobe change. If you have your Bibles at home with you, I encourage you to open them up to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we'll be reading the entire psalm this morning. The title of the message is When We Just Can't Even. And I think that the first time I ever heard that was from Landry after Evan had stolen her phone, or vice versa. When we just can't even. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 42, the psalmist writes, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bone, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Let's pray. Father, we do ask you, Lord, that if you would be so kind to open up our eyes to see your word clearly this morning. God, that maybe you can help put us in the seat of the writer this morning. Lord, that we may be able to understand the turmoil within him, God, that we may be able to understand why he had such hope in you. God, that you will indeed do the same for us, that we will be able to see you clearly, Lord, knowing who you are. And no matter what's really going on in our life, God, we will be able to sing praise to you and know that we may hope in you. Lord, we pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to do his work. I know I am nothing but a silly, silly mouthpiece if you're not speaking through me. So we pray this in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Now, there are times in our lives when it seems as if God has failed. Where it seems like in his life he has failed. And if you're honest and real this morning, for the vast majority of you, this is you. You felt this way. And I want to speak to two groups this morning. First, I want to speak to those that know they are disciples of Jesus. That they know they have been born again, and you guys know exactly who you are. But secondly, I want to speak to another group. Those listening this morning who are not yet disciples of Jesus, who have never truly been born again. But for some reason you're tuning in. Maybe you're curious about God. Maybe you believe in God, but you don't quite yet have a relationship with Him. Maybe you think you know God. And I want you to know I am glad that you're here this morning. I'm excited to have you. But maybe you haven't yet become a disciple of Jesus, a person who has turned away from sin in repentance and faith believed in Jesus as the one who is God, who lived a sinless life, who died on a cross for your sins and rose from the dead. To this second group, maybe God has been silent in your life. Maybe you feel He has given you no good reason to give your life to Him. And I want you to listen closely this morning and let God's Word penetrate into your heart. You may be surprised at what God will do with a person who has a willing heart. Now that first group of Christians, people that are out there, you are saved, you know Jesus, and you know it. But maybe you're struggling in some way or another, even as I speak with you today. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe God has not done as you expected Him to do. Maybe you are mentally or spiritually depressed at the moment. Just really, really, really down in the dumps. I know that this is a time throughout this country and throughout the world where people are stuck in their homes and they're down right now. Maybe that's you. Maybe your fight with sin is a bloodbath right now. Maybe you're not having any victory at all. You're not really fighting. You're just taking a beating. You're not really struggling. You're just losing. Maybe this is you. Maybe there are some outside factors that have come against you. Maybe some things that have come at you and you can see nothing good. I believe that Psalm 42 addresses these issues and more this morning. And I want to encourage you to take these words to heart, to consider the battle of the psalmist as he struggles, even himself. He felt a distance between him and God. Yet in the midst of it, in the midst of what it seems as you read this is a soul-crushing pain, the psalmist saw hope. He found hope. It was just a glimmer, it seems, but he saw it. And he was resolute that it was there. Even though it was just a glimmer. And even for you, if you'll just see that glimmer of hope, and you'll grab a hold of it, and just wait, maybe it can become, even as the light of 1,000 stars in your life, no longer just a glimmer, but hope that fills your whole soul. Now Jonah Kyle sang for us this morning the song. It's a hymn. It's actually a very old, old hymn written in the early 1900s. He will hold me fast. And he did a good job. The writer writes and sings, when I fear my faith will fail. He sings, when the tempter would prevail. He sings of his own struggle and inability of himself, saying, I could never keep my hold, for my love is often cold. See, he struggled. But in the midst of his struggle, he wrote the chorus that says, He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, He will hold me fast. That's the promise of God today. Now this morning, we're going to look at the text. I'm going to give you some background to the psalm. And then we will consider 4 points this morning within the psalm from the psalmist. The first is that he was doubting God. The second is that he was depressed without God. The third is that he was longing for God. And the fourth is that he was knowing God. Now, a little background, just so you know, this is likely a psalm of David written by the sons of Korah, who were a group of Levites that were charged with the praise and the worship at the temple during that time. And they sang a lot, and they sang loud, and they probably wrote this song with him, or he was dictating it to them, or they were watching his life and whatever was going on, but it seems to be originating from David. Now, I would hate to say what the exact setting of this psalm is. The commentators have a few ideas as to what they think it is. I'm not even going to offer up the possible scenarios, simply because I fear that it might blind us to the spiritual realities that are actually happening within the psalm. And so I want you to be able to see that. So we are going to state, though, what we do know. The one who is speaking is likely David. And he is in a great amount of turmoil. He's in some sort of spiritual depression, struggling mightily, and he's in it. And as he's in it, there are these mockers that are mocking even whether he knows God or whether God is even there. Maybe they're questioning David's relationship with him. And we see the singer of the psalm longing for God within the song. And we see that he mentions a couple places. He feels like God is a long way away from him. Now in verse 6, he mentions this land. He says, "Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." And so what we know about David is his home was Jerusalem. And this land is hundreds, possibly hundreds of miles away from where he lived and where he worshiped God. And where he worshiped God was where the temple of God was and where the ark of the covenant of God was. And if you know the story, he actually went through great pains to make sure the ark returned to Jerusalem because it was the physical representation of the presence of God amongst his people. And from time to time, even the real presence of God would manifest itself there at the ark. And David felt a long way away from that. And he even makes mention of the times where he would worship. Notice what is on his mind in verse 4. He says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival." So picture it, if you will. Here's a man who loved to worship God, that had always felt a close connection with God. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that David was chosen by God, and it said, God said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. So you picture it, David is off in exile, away from the city of God and away from the temple of God, stranded there. And in his mind, he's alone and depressed. And in his mind, he remembers those times where he really worshiped God, where he led a group of people, a procession of people. He calls it a throng. And he led them in praise as they would walk to the temple, praising and really essentially throwing a party. Now maybe you remember this in your own life, things like this that's happened where you've really felt close to God and worshiped God. And this was his mindset as he was far away, but this is not how things are for him now. His spiritual life is dried up, replaced with nothing more than a deep longing. Or as the passage says, a panting. So much so that he is to the point of questioning where God is and if he will ever see God again. And he hears in the midst of this the taunt of those who say, "Where is your God?" Now this sort of sets the stage for how we approach this psalm from a historical perspective. As you see, everything written in the Bible comes from a person who lived and breathed and had an actual situation happening. And so the text usually is going to tell you a certain thing. It's not going to mean multiple things. We have to be very faithful to make sure we try to get to the meaning. But as we do know, there are many applications within the text. And hopefully we can apply some of those in our own life today. David was feeling and dealing from some very real issues that affected him spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And I believe this psalm is here for us today to encourage us as well as we face very real spiritual, emotional, physical, and mental issues. Although the psalm comes across sorrowful in many ways, you'll see it is filled with hope. It is filled with a great amount of hope. And honestly, it's honest. It's an honest song. Often we'll hear songs about how happy we are all the time,
happy on the way. And people are sitting in their pews going, I'm not happy all the time. I'm not happy on the way. But this is honest. It's filled with hope. Now consider the point, the first point. We see within the text, he is doubting God. He's doubting God. Notice the questions asked within the psalm. He asks this. He says, when shall I come and appear before God? He says, why have you forgotten me? He says, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Then there's the question being brought to him by those who oppress him. Where is your God? These are questions that are weighing on him. Very serious questions. And I assume maybe you look at them. Hopefully they're still on the screen there for you. Maybe you have asked these exact same questions in your life. Maybe you've asked them this week. Real questions, things that you struggle with, that somewhere deep within you, you've heard them. Maybe from outside of you, they have been asked. Let's consider them one at a time. The first is, he asked the question, when shall I come and appear before God? Now, he asked this question from the perspective of when he used to go to the temple to worship. This is where he would meet with God. This is where the presence of God would come. It is where he would feel close to God. Now, for the person who is in Christ, you may ask the same question. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I be in the presence of God? When will I sense God around me? But for you, this is a more spiritual question than a physical one. Even now, we're not at the church together. We're not here at the same time. You're in your homes, and we know that as Christians, we are indeed the temple of God. That the Spirit of Christ dwells within us. And this is the reality of everyone who's been born again. This is why it's so important for those of you out there this morning that have never yet been born again, that you come to Christ, because you cannot commune with God if you do not have God dwelling within you. But even for those of us who do have the Spirit within us, there are times when we feel like God is far from us. Like He's very distant, where you don't feel God as you have felt Him before. And you wonder, even if He hears your prayers, you want to be close to Him, but you don't think that you are. He asks a second question. He says, why have you forgotten me? Now here's where the person has really begun to struggle. They begin to question even the promises of God. They feel forgotten in a similar way that Jesus felt on the cross when He asked God, why have you forsaken me? They felt alone. And it's a difficult place to find yourself. I want you to hear this morning. This may be you, and you may feel like God has forgotten you. You may have forgotten His promise. You may be doubting the God who said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will not leave you or forsake you. That's His promise, but maybe you forgot it. And you'll see from the psalmist that it is not true that God has forsaken him, nor is it true that God has forsaken you. He asked a third question there in his doubting. He says, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now we might can restate this question like this. Why am I sad? Now I've heard, and I'm sure you have, many preachers say that we ought to be happy all the time. That the Christian should never struggle with sadness. That is one of the most short-sighted things that you will ever hear a person say. Now, they may say a lot of other good things. And they're probably good preachers and good pastors for the most part. But they're dead wrong in this. We see it even in the text. That even King David, a man after God's own heart, really is wondering, why am I so sad? Why do I struggle with this? God, aren't you the one who gives joy? Shouldn't I be happy in you because you bring delight? Yet here I am mourning. The psalmist, it was probably a physical enemy that oppressed him. But you also see that it affected his emotions. It affected his mental state. It affected him spiritually. And for you, it could be a multitude of other things causing sadness in your life. Maybe it's a physical situation, a chemical imbalance. Maybe it's spiritual failures. Maybe it's family problems or money problems. Maybe Satan is using these things to attack you. And you feel sad. And you ask God, why should I, as a Christian, go about mourning and in sadness? Yet there it is, in the life of the person who believes in God, at times a sadness. Finally, we get to the question that comes from the person looking at David's situation. And he asks the question, where is your God? This weighed especially heavy on David. As a man who represented God in many mighty ways and served God and fought for God and built for God, now people are looking at his life and saying, where is your God? Maybe the most damning question of all. Maybe he was even asking this himself. For the person on the outside looking in, they see something isn't the same in this person's life. This person looks like they are living their life without God. And maybe Satan has whispered that in your mind today. Or at some point in the past couple months, maybe within your spirit, Satan has caused you to doubt that God is even there. Maybe you're a person who has never come to God. Okay? And you've never known God, and this lie has been spoken to you for years. Where is God? Let me assure you, God is there, and God is real. Do not lose heart, because you will see, even with the psalmist, who's facing this outside pressure and internal struggle, you will see that God is indeed there. The question that I asked myself as I looked at this point number one, the doubting of the man of God, is why would we experience such doubt? And I think there could be two main reasons that cause this to happen in our life. One, I think, is sin is one of the greatest factors. This is probably what led to the psalmist's time of spiritual struggle. Sin had had its way and did its thing, which is to suck the spiritual life out of you and to try to cause death in you, bring about as much death as possible. And I think, if I know this, my scriptures well, that this happened in the life of David. I also think that at times, trials can cause us to experience doubts. Various times and in various ways, God will send trials to test us, to strengthen us, and to glorify Himself. And at times, these will cause us to doubt, what in the world is God doing? This isn't what I read about in my devotion time. This isn't what I heard on CBN. This isn't what I heard on the televangelist thing where they say, God's going to make you healthy and wealthy. You'll never be sick. You'll never be sad. It's not what I heard in the prosperity gospel. But God will allow it to happen. So He must be about something. Don't listen to the lies of those out there that say difficult times will not come your way. And if they do, then that means your faith is weak. It may be. Your faith may be weak. But that is not the answer to all of the trials that come our way. Sometimes God is doing a greater thing. We should not discredit God when times come that are difficult. It does not change God and it does not change His promises. Our life changes. Our circumstance change. But God Himself will never change. So we saw the doubts. And it's likely that these doubts are what led to our second point, is that he was depressed without God.
The man felt as if God was not there at times. And he became depressed. Notice how he describes his feelings. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night." In verse 5, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" In verse 11, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" He says it a second time there. In verse 6, he says, "My soul is cast down within me." In verse 9, he says, "Why do I go mourning?" See, he's in a very painful place for whatever reason. And let me caution you this morning, just for those of you extroverts and those of you happy-go-lucky people out there, kind of like myself, where you may say, "I've never been this bad off. I always find a reason to be happy." And I would say there's still much to learn, even if you've only suffered a little, and we'll pray to God that you never suffer much. But I want to caution you not to allow yourself to be closed off to pain, to be closed off to struggles. This is something I find myself doing, building up barriers to keep myself from being overwhelmed with pain. Now, at times, they're very good barriers. They're barriers that are built up by the Word of God that helps me to have hope even in times where maybe I should be distressing. But we can put up other barriers because we're afraid to face the truth. Maybe afraid to face the truth about ourselves. Maybe we don't want to admit certain things about ourselves or about certain situations. So I encourage you, be mindful. See, the psalmist is in pain. He's all up in his feelings, as my son said the other day. He's all up in his feelings. He's feeling everything. And he asks his soul, "Why are you cast down?" Now what's being conveyed when he says this is a feeling of being brought down very low. Feeling extremely rejected. He even asked his soul, "Why are you in such turmoil? Why do you moan over me?" Is really what that phrase is saying, which is literally his inner being is saying it's like making a roaring noise like an ocean. Have you ever felt it that way? Just deep within you, there's this moaning, this roaring. It may not be a physical sound that you can hear, but it's something maybe you feel an uneasy, terrible roaring from within. And his reasoning and his mind is asking his inner self, "What is wrong with you? Why do you feel this way?" Now, he knows all the negative things that are going on around him. I want you to see that. It's not that he doesn't know what's happening around him. He still asks the question, even though he knows what's happening. And I think he asks the question because he expects that he should be filled with the hope of God all the time. That all the time that he should be floating on cloud nine no matter what happens because God has shown himself to be faithful. But why am I depressed? Why do I feel this way? And you may be feeling like that this morning or at some point, but I want you to know that there is hope. There's so much hope. You'll soon see it as the psalmist expresses his depressed state. We're also going to see, which leads us to my third point, a longing for God. Even in his sorrows and in his struggles and in his failures, he's longing for God. These doubts and this overwhelming depression cause him to long for God. This is a very important point that he makes. If you notice the very first verse, it says this, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God." My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. This is what's happening. Now notice, he does not say he longs for more money, or better friends, or a more stable family, or a new hobby, or the next vacation, or for more social media, or more likes on Instagram, or TikTok, or Facebook, or Twitter. He doesn't even mention Netflix even once.
Now, if everybody was in here, that'd be laughter, okay? You know, how much can we possibly stream? I think over the last month, we probably watched everything that we ought to watch on Netflix, all that we needed. How much more binge watching do we actually need? Unless, that is, that you plan to watch the documentary about the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan that airs tonight on ESPN. Now, ESPN, you can send me a check. That's a free, but it's not free. It's just a little plug for this great little documentary that's coming out. We're trying to find new revenue streams around here. But we've watched enough TV. The psalmist had a longing for God. He missed God, and he describes it poetically, writing, just like the deer that pants for flowing streams. Notice the deer is not running or even walking at this point. The deer is just thirsty. Now this week, I took my dog Daisy hiking. And her and I went to Red Bluff, and there was a lot of clay and sand and just dirt. And the poor thing was just, her mouth filled with dirt. And as it filled with dirt, I could tell she become very thirsty and she longed for water. So her and I began looking for a stream. We could hear it, and she began to go finding it. So check her out as she goes to this stream, and oh, look how refreshed she is. She longed for that water, sticking her face in the flowing stream. So happy, isn't she happy? Look at that beautiful thing. Just filled with just relief. The deer longed for this. The psalmist longed for this sort of refreshment in his life. This is the idea of the longing of the psalmist. He wanted God. And for any of us in a spiritual depression, or maybe we may call it a rut, the first thing we have to do to get out of it is just have a longing for God. Have a longing for God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 teaches us, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Also in Psalm 63, verse 1, we see the psalmist saying again, essentially, my soul thirsts for You, my flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now you may say to me, I just don't have a longing. What do I do? Now I would just say to you that you are in a desperate place. You're in a very difficult place, and your only hope is that God would cause you. That maybe through the reading of His Word, as you hear it being preached, you'll see the beauty of God and long for God. See, David longed for God because he knew God. And if you know Him, you'll recall His ways. Being reminded of how God has worked in you before and longing for that. Now, if you do not know God this morning, I want to tell you more about Him as we get to the end. Because nothing will satisfy your depressed soul. Nothing will fill the longings of your heart. You always seek after that which will bring you no satisfaction. Neither money, nor sex, nor power, or whatever other combination will do it. Jesus says in John 4, verses 13 through 14, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. David longed for God because he knew God. He had that well of water within him because he knew God. Which is our fourth point. Knowing God. This is where we get real. This is where we are able to find some sort of victory. The psalmist, notice this, begins to speak to himself. This is super important. He quit listening to himself and began to speak to himself. Do you notice the difference? You understand the difference? How often do we wake up or go to bed with thoughts being spoken within us? Maybe you're telling yourself you aren't good enough, or that God isn't there for you, or you're saying, I'm a sickly person, or I will never amount to anything, or no one cares about me, that God isn't real, God will not do what He says He will do. What do you hear being spoken to you? We should stop listening and start speaking. Start preaching to ourselves. This is exactly what he does. This is a beautiful thing. No one ever spoke so well to himself. Notice the things that he says that are born out of what he knew about God. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. By day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock. Verse 11, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. See, he knew God to be his salvation, to be his God, to be the living God, the one who would command his steadfast love during the day, and then at night, his song would be within him. That's beautiful. See, the psalmist knew that God loved him, even though he was struggling. That God would command his love by day, and it would cause him to sing about it at night. God had taught him these things. The steadfast, never-ending love of God was with him at all times, even when he didn't feel it. See, he knew God's love was steadfast, which meant it stood strong, unwavering. And the result of knowing such things about God would cause him to do two things. Now notice this morning. Take this from the text and learn from it. They would cause him to praise God and to pray to God. Prayer and praise. That's what we see him doing in the text. Praying and singing. Although they also sing, speaking to himself. The man, the woman, the child that learns of God in His Word will have much to pray and much to sing. This is what it will take when we get down. We do not know how long it will last. So we have to stop listening to ourselves and start speaking to ourselves. Start speaking the truths of God to ourselves. Then pray them, then sing them. Let me end this morning before I give an invitation, a gospel invitation, with a quote from the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Maybe one of my favorite preachers, probably my favorite. He's in my top three that have ever lived. He's long gone now. He said this in a series on spiritual depression. He said, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? He goes on to say, yourself is talking to you. Now this man's treatment in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing himself to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. Do you see the difference? Why are you cast down, O my soul? He asks. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. We have to do that in our life if we want to overcome burdens and struggles. Let me speak something to your troubled soul. As we have a time of invitation, a time of response. You can't walk these aisles. But in your hearts, you can walk to God. If you need to speak to me, you call me, you text me. We'll discuss this. See, God's love is steadfast and unshakable. He's proved His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God sent His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, Jesus died on a cruel cross, bearing the punishment for your sins. He alone bore them, taking the wrath of God on your behalf. And you know, while on the cross, He felt distance from God, saying, why have you forsaken me? But God had not forsaken Him, even though it felt that way. And Jesus would lay down His life, only to take it back up again, as He rose victorious from the grave. Christian, you're to remember the victory of Christ in your life today. Preach the gospel to yourself. And for those of you out there that have yet to come to Christ, would you do that today? Right where you are, in your living room, in your car, wherever it may be, Jesus is calling you to repent and trust in Him. Let me explain that to you. He is calling you to see you are indeed a sinner. And you must admit that. And you must turn from that in your heart and in your mind and turn to Christ and believe on Jesus, who is the Son of God, who died and who rose again. And the Bible says you'll be born again. And I just ask you, would you respond to Christ today? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day and for Your Word, which is amazing, God, and does so many great things in our lives. God, may we, Lord, if we're struggling right now, turn in our hearts towards You. Lord, I pray that You make the gospel come alive in those that are hearing today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.